to introduce the speaker. Not only is he a great, great friend and a wonderful listener. You had a conversation, Brother Talsman, you got to be a good listener. Amen. When God changed this old boy, he changed him completely. I used to be very quiet, timid, sit in the back and never speak a word. But, when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, Brother Kevin Cook, it done something to me. Praise the Lord. But we're going to ask him to come tonight, and he's going to preach to us with fire and the Holy Ghost. And we're going to listen, and we're going to amen, and we're going to back him up. Amen. To the finest youth pastor there ever was, ever will be, my friend, Brother Chris Cook.
Praise the Lord, everyone. How many is glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Amen. Isn't it such a beautiful spirit of the Lord in the house? Amen. Amen. Thank you, praise team. Amen. Didn't they do a wonderful job? Amen. Always do a wonderful job. Amen. Brother Cook is with the rest of the family. A lot can happen during a surgery. And I'm not sure right now what's going on, but I believe that God's hand is in the middle of it. Amen. And I'm certainly glad Pastor was there. Amen. As they had some difficulties in that surgery. Amen. So that is where they are at. They're not just skipping town. They are doing their duty. Amen. And I'm so thankful for them. If you have your Bibles, amen, we're going to go to the book of Esther. Amen. The 5th chapter. As you turn there, share a story that I heard. Talked with Brother Talsman about it this morning when I called him. We knew we had several out. Brother Jones, I believe, is out in Washington, D.C. Amen. On his way back. So I'm sure, trust that he's had a wonderful time, and we're praying his safe return. I miss my Brother Jones when he's not here. Amen. But I was listening to an old message, I believe it was old Brother Spears, years ago, probably in the early 90s, maybe late 80s. And he was about to preach, and he was called up to preach, and he asked the congregation, he said, before I get started, he said, I just received a phone call a few minutes ago from a man in my church who was about to have to go into a surgery, and that was what the doctors wanted to do. He said, and he was asking me what I should do. And that's a lot of faith in a pastor. He said, so before I give him direction, I want y'all to pray. So they bound together as a church and prayed for direction. And when they finished praying, in the middle of this service, old Brother Spears said, get on the phone and tell him everything's going to be all right. Amen. And I don't believe they followed through with that surgery, but I believe God healed that man in that moment. Amen. I believe when we have faith like that, when we have more faith in a God and in prayer than we do a doctor and a physician. Amen. God will do the miraculous if we allow him. Amen. But if you take it out of his hands, he'll let you try. Amen. Amen. The book of Esther, amen, the 5th chapter, amen, I certainly give honor to my pastor, Brother Cook, and to all the ministry, to the church, amen, give honor to the youth, amen, thank you for your worship tonight, amen, give honor to my wife, to my family, amen. Esther 5, we're going to go to verse 9. Then went Haman forth that day joyfully and with a glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he stood not up nor moved for him, he was full of indignation against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman refrained himself. And when he came home, he sent and called for his friends and Zeresh, his wife. And Haman told them of the glory of his riches and the multitude of his children. and all the things wherein the king had promoted him, and how he had advanced him above the princes and the servants of the king. Haman said, moreover, yea, Esther the queen did let no man come in with the king unto the banquet that she had prepared but myself. And tomorrow I am invited unto her also with the king. Yet all this availeth me nothing, so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. Amen. I want to preach. I feel like preaching if you'll help me. Amen. We need to get in the king's gate. We need to get in the king's gate. Why don't we ask God to move in this service tonight? Lord, we love you. We thank you for your presence that's already been real and rich in the house. I thank you, God, for the lively praise and worship that's went forth. I thank you because I know that your sweet anointing and your sweet presence is here in the house of God. And Lord, for that we give you glory and honor. So Lord, I pray that you would prepare our hearts and our minds and allow us to understand, Lord, a little bit more of what you would have us to see and have us to do and have us to know by your word tonight. Give us instruction. Help us to be more like Christ in the wonderful name of Jesus. And the church said amen. Amen. You can be seated in the house of the Lord. Amen. I'm so thankful. How many is thankful for the teaching that's been going on the last few weeks about spiritual authority? Amen. Pastor has been doing a phenomenal job in explaining and teaching that. And I would like to teach just a little bit down that same vein or same line if I could. But I want to preface this message tonight with this, that it is not my intention to give any glory to the devil. But I would like to expose his tactics and also some of his weaknesses. I'm thankful for the teaching that we've received over the past few weeks. And every word that's been spoken has been true and it's been needed. And now, church, it's our job. It's time for us to fight the good fight and keep up the faith and fight and endure until the end. Amen. So we have, over the last few weeks, established that we have an adversary, one who will stop at nothing to steal, to kill, to destroy. Amen. He's called many things in the Word of God. He's called Satan, the opposer. He's called the devil, the evil one, the father of lies, the ruler of this world, and the god of this age. He's called Lucifer, son of the morning star, the opposer of the brethren, and he is the opposer of your soul. And I want you to know tonight he is not playing games with us. He is intent on winning your cooperation. He is lying and he is conniving. Amen. He is glamorizing and sexualizing everything that you look at. He's good at what he does. Amen. He is convincing. He is so convincing that a third of the angels fell into his trap. Amen. He is subtle and he is sneaky. He is restless and relentless in his pursuit. Amen. I believe it was the Apostle Peter that said he is as a lion. 2 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Everybody say, my adversary. My adversary. You have a personal devil. Your adversary. You have a personal devil. He will stop at nothing to enslave you into the sin and his trap. He waits and he lurks with his hollow, yellowed eyes. He is no respecter of your age. No respecter of your physical ability, nor is he a respecter of your standing in your local church. He does his very best to pick off the weak ones. But he still has no problem taking out the little lambs and the old rams that have separated themselves from the fold of God. He has no ethics. He has no morals. He is your adversary. Make no mistake tonight, although he picks on the weak and the afraid, you are his intended target. He would love to take down a seasoned saint or a devoted student, a Sunday school teacher or a preacher. he is on the hunt every day of all the characters that are portrayed in the scripture. None, I believe, show a truer picture of your adversary than that evil man, Haman. Haman was in the innermost courts of King Ahasuerus, and he was an evil man. He had risen through the ranks by imposing fear on everyone that was in his surrounding provinces of the palace. Mostly were Jews. He was a self-proclaimed clergy who used his cunning lies to get his way. Amen. He would speak untruths to the king with a convincing tone in order to fulfill the lusts of his power. Amen. It is written that after the invitation by Queen Esther to the king and himself, he left feeling pretty good about himself. He was so self-centered and consumed by pride and arrogance. Amen. But on his way to his own home, he passed by the king's gate. And at the king's gate, everybody was supposed to bow to Haman. But there was one man by the name of Mordecai, this little old Jew. He would not bow, and it infuriated Haman. When Haman got home, it said that he called for his friends. He called for his wife. He gathered them all together and told them of the glory of his riches, the multitude of his children, and all of the things that the king had given them and promoted him, and how he had advanced him above princes and the servants of the king. He said, "Moreover, Esther the queen has asked me and invited me to come into the banquet and nobody else. And even tomorrow I get to go with the king unto the banquet that only him and I are invited to." He was delighting in himself, self-centered, self-loathing, just consumed with pride and arrogance. Doesn't that sound just like the devil? Telling them the same old story about all of his riches, all the things that made him who he was, about the power that he held and the authority that he had imposed over people. I'm sure today the devil would smile as he would look about and survey the kingdom of this world. I'm sure he laughs as you see the suicide rate of 67 deaths permitted in the United States alone. Over 620,000 abortions performed every year in the United States, or the fact that 90% of children ages 8 to 16 have viewed pornography, or 70% of men ages 18 to 34 visit porn sites in a typical month. It's become a $14 billion business, annually growing physically greater every year. Or the fact that 1.3 million people in the United States claim to be transgendered. And this is forced and imposed and discussed in our elementary schools today. Or how he must boast in the riches of his glory in the multitude of his children, while the U.S. has an incarceration rate of 500 prisoners per 100,000 people. Crime and homicide rates are now at an all-time high. Domestic disturbances and abuse are common occurrence in today's society. With 365,000 missing children annually, which 30% are figured to be trafficked, approximately 109,000 children, with 60% trafficked children, are foster children, youth, annually. Oh, how he must revel in the facts of his offspring. Drug abuse and addiction destroys now over 46% of every family in the United States of America. Make no mistakes today, your adversary is not for you. Amen. I don't care how enticing he may be. I don't care how pretty he may sugarcoat it. I don't care what he tries to convince you into thinking. He is not your friend, and he does not care how bad he messes you up. He is your adversary. He boasts in the fact that although many go to church, he's still really their God. He enjoys the fact that many churches today are now accepting his tactics And they're even incorporating them into their churches today. But just as Haman is portrayed in Esther, he has one flaw that caused him to unravel. You see, every time Haman would ride through the town, everyone would bow down and pay obeisance unto him. They would lay down sometimes on the muddy ground and cry, salute him as they would the king. He lusted after their submission. You see, he will impose his will on any and all that fear him. Yes, he will. Amen. You see, fear is his weapon of choice. Every time you see a pattern that he takes, he doesn't have to necessarily be the king in your life as long as he can make you fear obstructing his plan. Many Christians today will sit on the sidelined by fear that he imposes on them. A fear of failure, a fear of disappointment, the fear of condemnation, and all of the trouble that he can unleash on your family if you oppose him. So we continue doing what we can for God, but when the adversary of your soul should arise and speak loudly into your ear, what are you doing now? Don't you get too close to a breakthrough. Don't you come down to the altar. You know, you've gone too far. Don't get too close now. His fear robs you of any joy and power and revival that you may experience, because we fear what he may do to us if we get too close to God. The tactics of Haman were effective in taking out of the playbook of your adversary. But I'm here to encourage you today. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And although we may be, his weapons may be strong and they may be conniving and trick, but there is no weapon that can be formed against us that shall prosper. Our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. We do not have to submit ourselves to the adversary. We do not have to give over to his way. We should not be afraid of what he might do to us. We have been given authority to operate in the Holy Ghost. We have been given the Holy Ghost to become overcomers of our adversary, of your adversary, the devil. Many, many have received the revelation of the mighty God in Christ Jesus. But I believe today we need a fresh revelation of Christ in you, the hope of glory. We ought to walk proudly. We ought to walk strongly. We ought to walk with our chest held high and our chins lifted up. We ought not fear looking our adversary in the eye. We ought not fear opposing our opposer. We ought to walk in Christ Jesus. That is our hope of glory. It's not enough that we just understand that the mighty God was in Christ Jesus, but we have to understand that the same God that was in Christ Jesus is in us. The same authority, the same power. Deuteronomy 28 and 7 says this: the Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but will flee from you in seven ways. In our text today, you're going to read about a man named Mordecai who refused to bow. He was convinced in his heart he would not allow fear to determine who he was going to bow to. He was a man that stood in defiance of the evil Haman, of his adversary. He met him every day at the king's gate. And while everyone along the way would be bowed over and bowed over and paying reverence to this evil, manipulating adversary, this cunning deceiver, it was a Mordecai that said, I will not bow. I refuse to give you the satisfaction. Amen. It would seem that as if Haman had everything that he could have ever wanted. He had everything that he could ever need or ever desired. He was totally thrown by the presence of a little old Mordecai standing in the gate. I believe it's time today that we oppose our opposer. It's time that we get up off the floor, that we stand up to the one that has made us bowed over in fear. If there was ever a time today to stand up in the authority that we have been given, it's today. Stop worrying about what he's going to do to you and worrying about what he's going to do to your family and start declaring war on the kingdom of the devil. Let me let you in on a little secret tonight. He is fighting you whether or not you fight back. Yes, he is. Amen. He isn't taking it easy on you because you said, I'm going to stay on this side of the track and you stay on that side of the track. No, right now, that little thing is after your children. And he's after your grandchildren. And he's going to whether you put up a fight or not. Some of us have been letting that thing walk all over us. I've heard some say, I don't want to get them riled up. I don't need that trouble right now. Things are finally going smoothly. Listen to me today. Your enemy is not backing down one smidge. He's not backing up because he's fighting harder now than he's ever fought because he knows now that his time is very short. He knows that he doesn't have much time. What are you saying, preacher? Are you trying to scare me tonight? No. No, I just wish to encourage you to fight. Fight until the last minute. Fight. Keep on. This race is not given to the swift. It's not given to the strong, but it's to the one that endures until the very end. How do you keep on going, preacher? You get in the king's gate. You meet your adversary there every day. It doesn't matter what it looks like. You get in the king's gate. All I'm saying tonight is we need to get in the king's gate. We need to defy his persuasion and stand up for what we believe in. Meet him in the gate every single day and show him that you aren't afraid of him. Haman said, every day that I march through the city, everything is fine until I get to the old gate. Everyone's doing what I want them to do, but that old Mordecai, he just won't bow. He won't give up. He won't give me what I want. He acts like I'm not his superior. It just makes me so mad. I can't hardly see straight. I lose track every time that I get going down and I see that man standing in the gate. I can't even enjoy everybody else that's submitting unto me because all I see is Mordecai standing in the gate every day. We need to have some dedicated saints that are ready to meet him in the gate every day. Amen. Let me tell you what I've noticed too many times. You don't just backslide on a pew. I'll tell you when I start to get worried about someone. It's not when they are trying and they're failing. It's not when they're getting it right or getting it all wrong during the worship service or the altar service or prayer service or even in Sunday school. But when I get worried is when I don't see them standing at the gate. It's when I start to miss, when they start to miss it at the gate one day, maybe two. It's when they get too tired to stand at the gate, or it's when that thing becomes more important to them than standing in opposition of the enemy. I want you to know every day, we all know that every day isn't sunshine and roses. Everything isn't always going to be perfect. But I understand one chink in the armor of my adversary. It's that when I am faithful at the gate, I cause a disruption in his plan. I cause him to make frustrated decisions, and I just may subvert him from taking another one down. All because of my faithfulness in the gate. Man, he can't stand it when a faithful saint of God who is standing in the middle of a hell unleashed in his life, stands up in the face of the adversary and stands toe-to-toe and looks him in the eye and says, I don't care what you think. I don't care what you say. I don't care what it looks like. I'm not going to bow to you for anything. Some days I believe that we're at the gate early when the songs are in tune and everyone's singing just right. You know, when you wake up in the morning and you understand exactly what that verse means. You know, you feel like your prayers had actually reached the throne room of heaven. You got to work that day and you got to tell somebody about Jesus and they seemed halfway interested. And it seems like everything was going great. The pastor texted you that day and everything was just going right. Everything was on cloud nine. It's in those days that we are at the gate with bells on. It's those days that it's easy to stand in the gate. But other days, we don't feel like getting up. We are too tired to pray. We had a bad day at work. The dog ate the paper. Somebody cut me off in traffic. I just don't feel like going to church today. Is it Wednesday already? You ever had any of those type of days? Some days you got to make yourself go to the gate. You got to muster up every bit of strength that you got. And you got to walk down and face your enemy. You got to get yourself dressed. Get yourself fixed up. And every day march down to the gate. Why? Because he needs to see you at the gate. He needs somebody to oppose him. Some days old Haman's walking down the road and down the street. And he's too busy to pay attention to everybody that's paying obeisance unto him. He's too busy looking at all the things that he had conquered and all the things that had been submitted unto him because he's got his eye on the gate. And on those good days, he looks down and we mess his day up right off the bat because he sees us standing there at the gate. But it's other days that he is looking down the gate and he's looking to see and he thinks, man, I don't think they're there yet. I don't think that they're going to make it today. Maybe my tactics have wore down the saints. Maybe I discouraged him finally and I finally gave him enough trouble that he decided to just give it up and leave me be and not oppose me at the gate. But just as Haman makes his way to the gate, you find the little old Mordecai or the faithful saint of God come hobbling up to the gate and say, not this time, not today, not today. You thought you had me. I know I don't look my best. I know I haven't done right today. I know that everything hasn't gone the way that I thought it should go. But I want you to know something, you old Haman. I want you to know something, you old adversary. I'm going to be here to meet you every day at the gate. What we need today is a dedicated saint of God who is willing and ready to stand in the middle of the gap. Even if all the world is bowing down to him, to his ideas and his ideology and all the craziness that's going on in the world and saying, I refuse to bow down unto you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Church, you got to get to the gate every day, no matter the cost, no matter the sacrifice. Hobble if you got to. Put yourself on some crutches if you got to. Roll there if you have to. Bandage yourself up if you got to. Get to the gate every day because the moment that he doesn't see you there, he's going to believe that he's got an upper hand on you. Oh, yes, he does. We need to understand what the enemy's trying to do. He wants to buffalo you. He wants you to think that he has power over you. I've told the youth class this many times. God is the ultimate supreme power. The world would have you think that there is good and there is evil. And they're on the same plane. That this one is just as great as this one. But that is not the truth. This one made this one. This one has to ask for authority from this one. He is still the ruler. He is still supreme. He is still the all authority, all power. He's got every bit of it. He's never given it to nobody. When someone at church makes you mad, get to the gate. When you get the short end of the stick at your work or in your position, get in the gate. When you feel undervalued or underappreciated, get in the gate. Every day we need to get to the gate. You can't take one day off. If you do, he'll think that he's won. And he's not. And I refuse to give him the satisfaction of thinking that he won. I don't care if the bus kids didn't let me know that they weren't going to come, even though I drove all the way to their house for no reason. I'm going to be at the gate every day. They asked me to sing a song and then they gave it to somebody else. That's okay. I'm still going to be in the gate. I thought I was going to be able to sing that solo or sing that part, but they gave it to somebody else. I don't care. I'm going to be in the gate. I didn't get a call or a text from my pastor. It's okay. I'm going to be in the gate. Amen. No one shook my hand at church today. It's all right. I'm going to be at the gate tomorrow. Do not abandon your position. Don't abandon your position. Listen to me. We need to get in the King's gate. Some of us tonight are tired and would rather be in a recliner relaxing your bones than a padded chair. I get it. But the fact that you are here today, the fact that you have made your way into the house of God puts a sting in your adversary. It ruffles his feathers just a little bit. Oh, yes, it does. Your faithfulness shows him that he is not your Lord. Faithfulness. You'll find the King's gate. There is judgment at the King's gate. There is just judgment. Faithfulness to the gate is your key to salvation. You see, the King's gate represents fairness. It represents justice. It represents true power and true authority, not just manipulated fear tactics. There is power in salvation as long as we can manage to get into the King's gate. Amen. All will be well as long as we can get there. Don't throw in the towel this close to the end, church. Don't give up this close to the end. I've seen too many come and I've seen too many go. Listen to me, young people. I know we've heard it preached that he's coming back any day, any moment of any second. But let me tell you, he's closer now than he's ever been in any age of any dispensation. He can come back tomorrow. There's not any more prophecy that needs to be fulfilled. He is ready to come back for his church. Don't you get out of the King's gate these last few days. Don't let one friend tell you that you don't need to stand there. That it's easier to bow. That it's easier to quit. You see, outside the gate is where things get enticing. Outside the gate is where sin lies at the door. Outside the gate is where every excuse in the book begins to sound reasonable. But don't give your opposition the satisfaction of a quitter. I heard the other day a CNN anchor say about a town hall meeting with a presidential candidate. He said he just won't quit. He just won't give up. He will not stop. He's here to stay. No matter how much we want him to go away, he will not stop until he gets what he wants. He will not stop until he wins. You see, it scares the opposition when you refuse to quit. They don't know what to do and they don't know how to handle you when you refuse to quit. There is no failing for a man who decides never to quit. You might not always be on the top, but you never lost the battle if you never quit. So when things don't go like you want them to go, you don't quit. You'll never lose if you don't quit. Some of us have got the look down just pat. We got the songs down just right. We can shout with the best of them. Amen. But in the back of our minds, we're mulling over the idea. I don't know how much longer I can go on. I'm not sure if this stand is still worth making. I know that I've done this my whole life, but I'm just tired of standing up when everybody else is sitting down. I just don't see the point anymore. All of my friends are just doing their thing and everything seems to just be working out fine for them. But what is the point of the opposition? Your faithfulness to the gate Your faithfulness to the gate is the whole point of the whole situation. Amen. Could we all stand? Amen. I told you I wouldn't be that long. The point is your faithfulness wins the race. A cold glass of water in the right moment goes so far. And while Haman contemplates how to kill Mordecai, the king couldn't sleep. He had a sleepless night. He asked for the scribe to read him out of the Chronicles. And he hears about a man who was faithful to the king and how he subverted a plan that was going to take him out. He was moved by compassion of the faithfulness of this man. He shouts out, "Who is this man who done this thing?" And the scribe says, "It was Mordecai the Jew, O king." The king asks, "What was done for this man who has shown so much faithfulness to the gate?" The scribe responds, "Nothing, O king." About that time, Haman arrives just in time to give good counsel to the king. The king asks Haman, "What should I do for the one who's been faithful and honest and steadfast and honorable?" And selfish Haman, he just knows that they're talking about him. He said, "I'll tell you what you do, O king. I would give that man a king's robe, not just the look-alike, but I would take the robe, the one that you wear the most, your favorite one, not a fake one, but your favorite. I would put it on him, and I would put him on the king's horse, and I would parade him throughout the kingdom. I would also get a high-ranking member of the court or one of your officials in the king's court, and I would have him go before him declaring, 'Look what happens to the man whom the king delights in.'" And the king says, "That's a great idea, Haman. I can see him as he puffs out his chest, thinking it's going to be him. Life can't get any better than this." The king says, "Bring in Mordecai. Justice is found when you stand in the king's gate. Every lie is manifested at the king's gate." Jesus said, Matthew 7:13, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto destruction." He expounded further in John 10:7-10. He said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. Be by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pleasure. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And I am come that they may have life and have life more abundantly." The answer to salvation today is your faithfulness to the king's gate. The fate of Haman ended up being his own gallows that he had built. All of his children that he was so proud in found their necks in the gallows. Amen. They were all destroyed. All of his riches were divided. Every boast that he had was stripped away. And he will ever be destroyed, just like our adversary. If you're tired tonight, I would just encourage you to find the energy, find the determination to get in the gate one more time. Stand up against the enemy and declare, "Great is the salvation of my King. Great is the salvation of my King Jesus." How many is thankful tonight to have a place of refuge, a place of justice? He said, the King said, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." We ought to trust. We ought to trust and abide in the wisdom and the knowledge of God in the King's gate. Amen. How many is thankful for what God has done this week? Amen. Once again, I give each and every one of you honor, every faithful saint of God that's made your way into the house of God tonight. Amen. Thank you for your faithfulness. You're showing your children and you're showing your grandchildren that no matter what, faithfulness is more important. Amen. Faithfulness was counted unto one as righteousness. I want to be faithful to Him. Amen. Can we give the Lord one more shout of praise tonight? Amen. Remember tonight, all of those announcements. First, our Pentecost Sunday, this next Sunday, just a one service, and then we'll get out of May and everything will be back in order, hopefully. Amen. And then please remember all the youth. Please remember if you have a kid between the ages of 8 and 11 and then 12 to 23, you will need to register. That will get you your badge. That will get you your lunch. I'd hate to have to turn you away from a lunch because you didn't register. And also, every day that we wait, the registration goes up. So please take advantage of these discounts now. Amen. I believe it's $35 for 12 to 23, and then $25 for those that are 8 to 11. And that covers your afterburners. That covers your meals. Amen. And that goes to help support the ministry. We have Brother Paul McGee Jr. coming to preach that on the night services. Amen. Phenomenal preacher. And then we have Brother Tyler Smith, amen, is going to be preaching our day services. There is. If you will go on our Facebook page, our Student Ministries of Kentucky Facebook page, amen, you will find the registration link there. Amen. That's actually, I believe it's hooked up with Square, I believe. So we can, you can pay with a check or with a card or however that would be easier. And then registration will be open at the door. Amen. But they're very, I believe it's very, very fair prices, amen, for that camp. Amen. Also, amen, tell somebody. We are beginning again to recruit again for more students at the school. Amen. So if you know somebody who has a child who is tired of the public school system or would just like another option, amen, tell them about ACA of Madisonville, Kentucky. Amen. Everybody say, God bless. Brother Nathaniel Hussey. Amen. You're dismissed in the fear of the Lord tonight.
Abby, go back.